In 1997, I was fortunate enough, my wife Melissa and I, to lead a group of about 40 participants into Egypt. Well, something very unexpected happened. Somehow, President of Egypt, Mubarak, granted us access into temple sites and tombs and locations, many of which I have never been in my 12 years of going to Egypt. Some hadn't been open to the West for over 60 years, we were told. One of those sites was on the west bank of the Nile. It is an underground tomb that has a domed ceiling and is about 30 feet long by about 15 feet wide. And as we descended into the 200 stone stairs to get into this tomb and the lights were turned on, I could understand perhaps why it had been off limits for so long, because as the lights came up, we were surrounded by images that were so brilliant and vibrant in color, it looked as if the artist had just left the day before. Impeccable, with many tourists and the humidity of their breath in a closed area. The quality of these images would deteriorate very rapidly. Well, it was on this particular tomb, on these walls, that I witnessed for the first time in my time of journeying into this part of the world, an image that had been referenced in many of the mystery schools to the Egyptian god Osiris, who's the god of resurrection, the god of eternal life, the god who transcended the polarity of time and space in this world in another cycle before our time. And at the end of this domed chamber, along the walls were all the experiences that Osiris had moving up to the time of his great transition. All of the experiences of life and the experiences of family and of gathering food and all the things that were happening. And at the very end, he portrayed for the first time that I've ever seen his secret in terms of how he transcended the polarities. For the first time, what we saw was the image of Osiris flanked and his shoulders by the sign of the Eye of Horus through the Eye of Horus mystery schools, which we see commonly as the left eye. Rarely do we see the right eye. And he was flanked by both the left and the right eye of Horus, representing the left eye and the right eye of Horus mystery schools. Horus, who was the son of Isis and Osiris, he was the product of their union. The left and the right eye representing the two mystery schools based in two very different, although closely related, philosophies. The left eye based in the logic and in the left brain knowing of our world, and that's the path our Western world has taken today. So we essentially have lived this left brain of Horus mystery schools through our societies and our technology. The right eye of Horus represents the feminine aspect, the intuitive, the feeling, the emotional aspect of our world. And in our technological society, up until recently, we've done our very best to circumvent that, to do anything we can do to stay away from the feeling and the emotional component. Well, here in this tomb, 200 steps underground, what we're seeing is Osiris is sharing his secret. He's saying in the only symbolism of his time, the secret to achieving and transcending this polarity, achieving this lasting experience, is the union of left and right brain, the union of logic and emotion. And once again, we see what we're reminded of so often through these mystery schools, that as great as our logic is, as important as our left and right brains are, they're incomplete. If we view the world through left and right brain, we'll always view the world in the separateness of left and right, light and dark, good and bad, right and wrong. That our logic must be tempered with the wisdom that comes from our hearts, the wisdom of the experience, the wisdom of feeling and emotion. And it's through that that we are able to transcend the great challenges of life. I've referenced several times these three parameters of prayer: thought, feeling, and emotion. What is the difference between feeling and emotion? In recent years in the West, we have merged the two into a single concept, feeling and emotion. The ancients, however, identified them as closely related yet separate. And what they said to us is this: that feeling is the union of a thought and an emotion. So if we're having a feeling, it's the union of thought and emotion. Emotion can be considered the power source that drives us forward through life. It doesn't have any direction until we apply thought. Thought may be considered as the guidance system. So thought by itself is impotent without the power to drive it. Emotion, power by itself, is impotent without the guidance to direct it. It's the union of the two that allow us our reality, the reality that we call our world. Another way of looking at this is thought may be considered imagination. Emotion may be considered desire. And when we find a way to merge our imagination and our desire into a single, directive, potent force, then we create our reality. So thought and emotion produce feeling. Feeling is the digitally measurable vibratory template that allows us to create in our world, and that feeling is the key component to the lost mode of prayer.